Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we've been thinking together concerning two of the epistles of Paul, the books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. And we've been going through these books very, very slowly. A number of lessons we have used to cover these two books. And we're not through yet with 2 Thessalonians. But in 1 Thessalonians, we noted the book is mainly a book of encouragement. It does include some teaching, but it's mainly a book of encouragement. 2 Thessalonians will also include much encouragement. The Apostle Paul, as he's writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and I want to emphasize again and again, every book of the Bible has been inspired by the Holy Spirit, even though it was written by men. A man had to write down the five books of Moses, and the books of the Bible, of course, were written down, penned by men, but they were given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Whatever is true in the Bible is going to agree with every other truth of the Word of God. In other words, the Bible will not contradict itself. What a wonderful thing this is. It is one book. It is unified. It has many different applications. There were different periods of time that it covers, but nevertheless, it is one book. And so when we read the Bible, we are taught that it's inspired by God. The entire Bible is inspired by God. So as Paul writes, the Apostle Paul now is writing to these people at Thessalonica, the Thessalonian people. And as he writes to these people, he is trying to, first of all, to commend them and encourage them. We're going to see this in both of these books. But he's also writing to them to help them to more fully understand the faith in which they stand. The faith in which they stand and the faith for which they stand. In other words, as they stand for the faith, they're to understand clearly what they're standing for. And I do believe in every believer having at least a basic, clear knowledge, for instance, of the doctrines of the Bible, the doctrine of God, the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of salvation, all of these different doctrines of the Bible. It's very important that Christians, even the new Christians, be trained in such things and that they understand these doctrines. They also understand the Christian life itself. And so he's trying to instruct them somewhat in doctrine, but also in the Christian life, that they might go on for the Lord and be absolutely faithful to the Lord as the servants of God, as those who know the Lord. They're not preachers, they're not leaders in the church, but every one of them has a responsibility before God, first of all, to be what God wants him to be, and then to do what God wants him to do. These two things are very important for each of us as well. We are, first of all, to be the spiritual men and women of God that God wants us to be. Whether we're teenagers or young adults or older adults, we are to be absolutely what God wants us to be. And then, we're to accomplish God's purposes for our lives. I'm aware, as I make these broadcasts, that each of us would have a different kind of a personality, different gifts and talents that God has given us. Some of us are called to be preachers, to be ministers in churches right here on Guam or wherever it might be in the United States or in the Philippines, wherever we might be, to be missionaries perhaps to a far place. And so whatever it is we're called to do, we may not be called to be a preacher, to be a missionary, but every one of us have a task to perform for the Lord. Now, as I share with you, I want to read a couple more verses from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 3 to 5 from this passage, beginning with verse 3 now, if you have your Bibles. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you will both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now I want to stop our reading right there. I want to discuss this passage a little bit with you. He's sharing some words of encouragement with them, closing with another one of his prayers. I call this a benediction. It's like a prayer. It's Paul's fervent wish for them. The first of these was back in the last chapter, and we saw this as we looked at this. The first of these benedictions was in the last chapter. And these benedictions are like a prayer, but at the same time, it's like a fervent wish for them. And so we found this back there in verse 17 of chapter 2, the first of them. But now he's making another benediction, and he's giving to them a promise, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit, but he's also expressing a fervent wish for them in this thing. So this prayer is a prayer that they might be directed into the full love of God and the steadfastness of the Lord himself. That they might be directed into the love of God and the steadfastness of the Lord himself. Now these are Christians to whom he is speaking. So there are going to be several things he's going to say to these Christians, closing with those words in verse 5. First of all, he wants to give them the encouragement that God is faithful in their relationship with him. We see the word faithful used in a number of different passages. I think, for instance, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, where he speaks of God's faithfulness in bringing them into the truth, faithfulness in bringing them into his calling and into the truth itself, and how wonderful it is that a faithful God is the one who brought us into our salvation, brought us into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and then brings us into victory in the Christian life. We have a faithful God who stands with us. Another passage is 1 Thessalonians 5:24, and in this passage, faithful is he that calleth you who will also do it, he's talking about bringing them into full victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, helping them to grow in the Lord and to go on in the Lord and to go on to the very end. And he is talking about a faithful God who will help them to do it. And I'm trying to encourage you as well. Our God is faithful. He will not fail us, in other words. When we pray, God does not always do what we want him to do. Because many times when we pray for something, it's not good for us that our prayers should be answered in the way we want them to be. God will answer our prayers, but he will do it in his way and for our good. So we need not doubt the faithfulness of God in sometimes delivering us from a particular situation. Even sometimes the situations we go through help build our Christian lives. They help make us to be the kind of people God wants us to be. Even sometimes very difficult situations will bring us into this realization that actually God has molded and shaped my life through this difficult situation. Now, it's difficult for us to accept, but it's a faithful God that takes you through. Now, again, he uses this word faithfulness. And the faithfulness of God. And I want to read this. But the Lord is faithful who shall establish you and keep you from evil. In other words, we're not alone in growing in the Christian life. We're not alone in resisting temptation. Behind us, and he does this by the indwelling Holy Spirit, we have a faithful God who wants us to grow in the Lord Jesus, who will help us to grow in the Lord Jesus, and then will also keep us from temptation, keep us from falling into sin and evil things. And sometimes we feel very alone in these things, very alone even in growing in the Lord. And many times we're tempted to excuse ourselves. Well, you know, I was just too weak, or I just didn't have the strength to go on like I should have. And so my life has been very cold, but now I'm getting back with God. No, we don't excuse ourselves for failures in our lives. We have a God who stays with us. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit, and we can depend upon him. And so when there are failures in our lives, when we're tempted by sin and we fall into sin, we yield to these temptations, we accept the blame ourselves. I simply did not depend upon this faithful God, upon the indwelling Holy Spirit to strengthen me and to lead me on and to keep me from the evil temptations and so forth, to help me to turn away from the things which would tempt me. This idea of turning away, of putting on and putting off, turning away from sin and then putting on righteous things, is a responsibility of the Christian life. And while it's true that we need the indwelling Holy Spirit to help us do it, nevertheless, we accept full responsibility when we fail. I simply did not depend upon God or upon His indwelling Holy Spirit in going on. So I accept the responsibility and the blame for my failures. Now, from this, he is going to go on and is going to express his confidence in them that they will continue to faithfully follow his instructions. We're going to see this now in the next two verses. Verse 4 and 5, chapter 3 now, 2 Thessalonians. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you or concerning you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And so he has confidence in them. They're walking with the Lord. They're spiritual people. He has no reason to doubt them, that they will continue to depend upon the Lord and walk with the Lord faithfully. And so he has confidence in this. And then he comes down to verse 5, and may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now, they're already in the love of God. Why should we have a prayer here concerning this? And may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. In other words, we go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. They already know the love of God. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ has already been manifest toward them. They've trusted the Lord as their Savior, and now His love is in their hearts. They have love for other people. They're serving Him faithfully, but they need to realize they need to go deeper and deeper and deeper. In other words, we can never love the Lord Jesus enough. This is the truth of the Christian life. We can never love the Lord Jesus enough. Let me repeat that again and again. Sometimes we feel, I'm as devoted to the Lord Jesus as I ever shall be, as I can be now and ever shall be. No, we're never as devoted to Him as we should be. We can always renew our devotion to Him, go deeper and deeper in following Him. I've known people like this in college, when I was in college. Many of you understand that I was a dear friend of a man named Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot was one of five young men who died on a beach in 1956 there in the land of Ecuador, the country of Ecuador there in Central America. And Jim Elliot was a very dear friend of mine in college. And I remember watching him as he grew in the Lord. And his love for the Lord increased and developed, and he grew deeper and deeper and deeper. And this is my desire, and it should be the desire of every one of us, that we will never be satisfied with our devotion to the Lord, and with our commitment to Him, and with our service for Him. We would always want something more. We want to go deeper, in other words, with Him. So when he's talking about that He may bring you into the love, he's not talking about starting in this. He's talking about going deeper. And then, of course, he says also, Lord, direct your hearts into the love of God and to the patient waiting for Christ. Again, in our lives, sometimes we become very impatient with God. We become impatient because God doesn't always fulfill everything now in our lives that we want to be fulfilled. Every result doesn't always come as we want it to come. Remember, Abraham had to wait 25 years before God gave him that son Isaac. Imagine waiting and waiting and waiting on God. When God promised him, his descendants would be like the sands of the sea. And when is this going to come to pass, Lord? You can imagine Abraham sometimes must have become somewhat impatient with God. And in fact, he and his wife did become impatient because he took the servant, made her like a wife, had a child by her, which was not God's will at all. It was an act of disobedience on the part of Abraham, this faithful man of God. But they became impatient, and sometimes we become impatient as well. Sometimes God waits to bring a certain promise to pass or to bring a certain result to pass, which is necessary in our lives. But God is faithful, and God will bring this to pass. So here, it's also true concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus, His coming in the clouds someday. And that is, we have to be patient in waiting on Him. I do not know, and we do not know, if Jesus will still come in our lifetime. We believe in the imminent return of the Lord. I've mentioned this before. We believe He could come at any time. But He has not come yet. It's been nearly 2,000 years since that promise was given, just short of 2,000 years. And still, the Lord Jesus has not come. God knows His times and His seasons. And we have to be very patient in waiting on Him. It may be not in our lifetimes, certainly not in mine, perhaps not in yours, even if you're much younger. He may not come in our lifetime, but He could come at any time. And so you're to be faithful in waiting for His coming, living to please Him so that you're not ashamed when He comes, but you're also to be patient in waiting for Him, that if He does not come in your lifetime, when you die, you still will go to be with Him. Remember that phrase, absent from the body, present with the Lord, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. So when we die, we don't need to be afraid. But at the same time, we look for the possibility that He could come in our lifetime. And we prepare our lives. We are faithful completely to the Lord. And we prepare our hearts in every possible way for that coming of the Lord Jesus. We are going to be ready. Remember 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, where it speaks of those who will be ashamed before Him at His coming. The phrase there is, shrink back in shame from Him at His coming. In other words, they're not ready. They have not lived their lives faithfully as they should. So this is His fervent wish for them, not just to be patient, but to be living the kind of a life that would be pleasing to Him, that you would not be ashamed of when He comes, when you actually face the Lord. And this should be true, whether or not He comes during our lifetime, even facing Him in heaven, when we go to be with Him, our soul and our spirit go to heaven to be with Him. Even though our body is buried, we don't want to be ashamed before Him when we face Him there in heaven. We want to be unashamed, ready to receive from Him His commendation rather than His disappointment because of the way we have lived or have not lived our lives. So it's my prayer, first of all, if you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, it's my prayer that you may take the warning from God that God someday is going to judge those who have rejected the truth and have not received the Lord Jesus. And if you are a Christian, then you will be living completely for Him. Even if you've never really done this before, as a teenager, young adult, or an older adult, you may simply rededicate yourself to live completely for Him and to honor Him with your life. May the Lord help you, each one.